talk about your lifestyle of cleansing, my lifestyle of cleansing. For we want to be that garden that God dwells in, that God and I can walk together, just like Adam did with him. We want to talk about being cleansed, washed by Jesus through his word. What that really means is, people become Christians, believers, by accepting Jesus as Savior. And they say, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. But Lordship means that we do what he says. And we have this Bible. I remember this acronym from way back. Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. That's very, very cool, actually. Because it's our basic instruction before we leave the earth and go up and meet Jesus as he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to be Lord of Lords, which means that he's our Lord. He is the Lord of us, Lord of Lords. But we are Lords. We are Lords walking in dominion over the earth and everything on the earth. Over demons, devils, evil spirits, sickness, disease, calamities. We've been given this to practice our lordship and to subdue. For God's word never changes. And he said from the very beginning to Adam, to mankind, that he is giving us authority and dominion to subdue the earth and everything on it. So what we have here at ABC, and we're now going into our 23rd year, what we have here is God giving us a foundation, going from level to level in his word, all the way up now, till we have all these many, many years of school. First came the Bible College, ABC Bible College, which is preliminary to Healing School Semester 1. Teaching a lifestyle. God has been teaching us a lifestyle from the very beginning of ABC. In Bible College, we learn what Jesus did for us, what belongs to us. We learn the 12 different types of prayers. We learn about the kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. We learn about demons, devils, evil spirits, about angels. And a lot of wonderful things that we needed as preparation to go to Healing School Semester 1. Then Healing School Semester 1 continued this changing of building a new lifestyle. Eventually, it was named Healing School, but a lot of thought has gone into calling it the Victory School, School of Victory. Just using healing as the example, as a pathway for victory. Because the principles taught in Healing School Semesters 1, 2, and 3 are principles of victory that will work in every area of your life. As you stay home right now under the current COVID-19 shutdown, lockdown. You're sitting in your home. You have food. You have water. You have gloves. You have masks. You have sanitizers. You have everything you need. That, my friend, is victory. That is victory in this situation. Not one ABCer has ever been infected with COVID-19, and not one ABC will ever be infected with COVID-19. Because God has been training us and moving us into a lifestyle where we can allow him to be Lord of our lives. And part of his lordship is that he protects those in his kingdom. That's what we have been teaching here at ABC all these years. Not simply how you get heat from that and heat from that. Those are trivial things. It's how to want to be you and God alone. You and God in your little garden. You and God in your kingdom of God. You living for God and you and God fellowshipping. A lifestyle built around serving the Almighty God, your Creator. A lifestyle of living the things that Jesus said that you and I should do. A lifestyle of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, being a temple of God. That's what Healing School Semesters 1, 2, and 3 have been about. We have said the days would come when hospitals would not be available. And we've seen some examples of that with Hurricane, which one hit Louisiana? I forgot. Katrina. When Katrina hit Louisiana, hospitals weren't available. Here, with COVID-19, hospitals have been overrun. Tests are not available. There's a lot of shortages for people dependent on doctors. But you and I, we're dependent on God. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And what is in the world is Satan, his demons, his devils, his evil spirit. And they're using whatever they can to corrupt nature that it might attack God's primary creation, the apple of his eye, mankind. The scriptures say that for those who choose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, no evil shall befall them. Only with their eyes shall they see and behold the reward of the wicked. 1,000 may fall at the side and 10,000 at the right hand. But only with their eyes shall they see and behold the reward of the wicked. There are many, many people dying across the world. About 200,000 now. Are they wicked? Not as you and I think of wicked. These are good people. These are loving people. Probably all or most of them. But they have not chosen to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. They have not chosen to live for Jesus. And for God, the word wicked has really changed over the years. For God, the wicked means you're departing from my ways and you're doing the ways of the enemy. You're moving into the ways of mammon. I mean, look at the Tower of Babel. Was it wicked for them to build the highest tower in the world? Not per se, I don't think. But why was it wicked? Because they departed from the word of God that said, I will never again flood the earth and destroy everything with water. Notice, he never said, I'll never again destroy the earth. He said, I won't do it with water. And he put a rainbow in the sky that continues to this day as a reminder of his promise. They were building a tower, but it was contradictory to the word of God. That's why it's considered wicked. Today, people are relying on the system of mammon. They're relying on doctors, hospitals, inoculation, which they may have to wait 18 months to get one. And when they get one, it may not work. And if it does work, COVID-19 virus can mutate. Perhaps you don't know this yet. But ABC has been ahead of the curve on this COVID-19 the entire time. So I may as well put you one step ahead of the curve. There are already three strains of COVID-19. It has mutated twice already. Once in China and once in India. And they're working on an inoculation for the one we have currently in this country, which we're assuming is one strain. Even that may not be true. So no, don't put your hopes on the scientists. The scientists are doing a wonderful job. Put your hope in the Word of God. And the Word of God becomes more and more manifested in you in a greater and greater way when you have a lifestyle of cleansing. The purpose behind a lifestyle of cleansing is to move you closer and closer to God so that God can spend more and more time with you and flood you with more and more of His glory and His blessings. The bottom line is cleansing, and cleansing is get rid of the sins. Jesus took all your sins, He took the wages of sins, and you have been set free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. You've been set free from the law of sin and death. That means you don't have to sin. And if you do sin, you don't have to die because of the grace of God. But the grace of God requires that you partner with God to receive all the blessings that belong to you. Grace is like the safety net. You've seen circus acrobats, people doing amazing stunts on high wires and up there. And below them, there's a safety net. They don't want to make a mistake. They don't want to fall. They practice to be perfect. God wants us to practice to be perfect. But if you make a mistake and you fall, the safety net is there. That's what grace is. God wants you to reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to Him, to live for Him, to recognize that this lifetime we have, this 2,000 years of grace, which is soon coming to an end, this 2,000 years of grace, and your short lifestyle of, let's say the years of man should be 120. 120 years is nothing, nothing in the scope of eternity. And God thinks eternally. Everything is present to Him. He's raising up as eternal beings. He's raising up to be His sons, His daughters. People who have an eternal perspective. Not just thinking, how am I going to get you today and tomorrow? No. How do I please God today and serve Him today? Because I plan on being here forever. That's what God is looking for. That's what distinguishes us from the people who under certain circumstances are called wicked in the Scriptures. We are created to serve the living God. So, our outline tonight has three parts. The first part is your lifestyle of cleansing. That's the overall name. And part one is Healing School Overview. It's an overview from semester one and two that brings us into semester three, where we are and where we are going. Everything on here should be intimately familiar with you. If there's something you don't know, I urge you, go back and review it. You should even go back to Bible College if you've never been there. Go back and review it. It's all there as stepping stones to build you a skyscraper, getting closer and closer to God. It's part of your building your ark of anointing for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones, for your household, your sphere of influence. They're all there for a reason. So let's look at semester one highlights. First is the prayer of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're here to please God. For His pleasure, we were created. We must learn how to please God. And you can't please God if you're not walking in faith. And the foundational description of walking in faith is Mark 11:24. The definition of faith is in Hebrews 11:1. A good definition is, it's your title deed to the promise. Your title deed. Your faith is a title deed to every promise. Whether it be living, whether it be health, whether it be healing, whether it be finances, whether it be victory, whatever it is, and the promise of God that you're standing for, your faith is a title deed that guarantees you will get it, which means you must know how to operate in faith. So Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So you must desire and you must pray. But at the moment in time when you pray, in the present, you must believe it's done. As soon as you've prayed, you believe God has done it. And you understand it may take a while to get to you. When you're a baby Christian, it might get to you right away. But the more mature you are the more challenges you'll see before it manifests. Count it all joy when you see the challenges, because it's helping you to grow in patience, and it's helping you to understand that you're maturing. You're going from level to level, from glory to glory. And as you go up, the challenges become bigger. Ah, but the blessings and the promises and the rewards also get bigger. So the prayer of faith led into the prayer of affirmation. Every single prayer is based on faith. So every single prayer, even the Thanksgiving prayer, is based on the prayer of faith. You say, how can that be? I'm just thanking God. Oh, but to thank God, you must believe He exists, that He's listening to you, that He hears you, and He accepts your thanksgiving. That's all faith. You don't say, I thank you, Lord, and then you think maybe God will hear that and believe it in 2 weeks. No, when you say thank you, Lord, you believe God has heard you right then. That's the way it is with every prayer. And the prayer of affirmation, Titus 3:8, that we are told to repeat, to say the promises of God. That we are told to affirm constantly the promises of God. That's what we do with affirmations, with the prayer of affirmation. We take a scripture, such as, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we affirm it. We declare it before God, and we use it as a sword to stick the enemy. When we say affirmations, the primary focus of the affirmation is not God. It is in the beginning when you say, thank you, Lord, that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. But soon it becomes the sword pointing at the enemy. The primary focus of your affirmation is the enemy. You're not trying to convince God. You're trying to tell the enemy, I am the healed of the Lord, and I will not let you take my healing because I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Primary focus is the enemy. And supporting us in the prayer of affirmation is communion. Many of you, a brother just told me a couple of days ago that he's now receiving communion 7 times a day. 7 times a day. How wonderful. Very, very wonderful. That means at least 7 times a day he's confessing his sins, speaking the word of God, and at least 7 times a day he's fellowshipping with God. What a wonderful thing. Because communion reminds us that Jesus is our jubilee, and he paid the price so we could live in the acceptable year of the Lord. The year of Jubilee, when everything is restored. So by His body, we have been restored to everything. What is everything? All that Adam had. Fellowship with God. A glorified body that did not need clothes. A level one, what I call a level one glorified body. A beginning glorified body. Didn't need clothes. No harm could come to it. Designed to live forever until he sinned. Authority and dominion over everything on the earth. Ah, all that is reminded in communion, in receiving the body. And the blood? Oh, Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. We receive the blood, we're receiving every promise of the new covenant. Every promise of the New Testament we're receiving when we receive the cup of blessing, the power of communion. And all that gets us prepared for the healing methods. 10 different ways 10 different secondary ways of manifesting our healing, or whatever area in which we need victory. Praise and worship works whether you're praising God to manifest the healing in your body, or praising God for a check to come in the mail. God inhabits the praises of his people. So the healing methods work for any form of victory you need. But to make all those work on an ongoing basis, we need to understand we are created to be a holy temple of a holy God. And we maintain that holiness by confessing our sins. Yes, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But the scriptures make it clearly that we should take the righteousness that's a gift in us and work it out into our members as holiness. Because we should be holy, for our Father is holy. And as you all know, when you confess your sins, your fellowship with God is restored. But that doesn't mean the demons, devils, and evil spirits have left. So to get the demons, devils, and evil spirits out of our lives, we break the curses. Every sin you've committed has a curse associated with it. A curse that affects not just you, but goes on to the third and fourth generation. That's why praying for babies is so easy. You just forgive the babies and young children of the sins of their ancestors. And then they declare over them the promises of God. So every sin has curses, and you've learned how to remove them. Which brings us to the daily steps. Having learned all that, we practice them daily. In semester 1, module 18, what are the basic stuff we do? The basic stuff to be a Christian who loves the Lord and want to move towards him on an ongoing basis. We have 17 steps listed. Some of them, attend church on a regular basis, whether by streaming or in person. Attending church is not an option. We're told that we should not forsake the assembling of the body, even more so as the day of the Lord approaches. Well, believe me, the day of the Lord is approaching. We should be with the body to create a corporate ark of anointing to support each other. And we can do it through streaming and phone conversations and visiting. A major aspect of things you should be doing every day as part of your foundation is spending time with God. Not simply asking God for things, but spending time with him, talking to him, learning to recognize his voice. The sheep in the natural life, if I were to walk it to some sheep and call the sheep, they'd ignore me. They don't know my voice. But if the shepherd comes along and calls them, they follow the shepherd. The reason we have so many challenges. Recognizing God's voice is because we don't spend enough time talking to him. You know, if you have a friend and you have not seen that friend since you were 8 years old, and let's say you're in your 30s or 40s, you might not even recognize his voice. Oh, no. We want to know his voice. We're his sheep, and we have to spend time with him. You want to make prayer part of your new lifestyle. Prayer is foundational to your lifestyle. Not just petition prayer when you want something, but all different forms of prayer. You want to pray in tongues. You want to pray for others. You want to talk to God. You want to praise him. These are all forms of prayer. You want to affirm healing verses, affirm financial verses. You want to speak the word of God over yourself. You're created, I'm created in the image and likeness of God. We look like him, and we should act like him. And he was created, he's created us to be creative beings. He is a creative God. And he wants his family to be creative. You create your life based on what you say. You create your life based on what you say. You have what you say. Wherever you are today, wherever I am today, is because of what we have said. So, affirm the verses and the promises that you need. Healing, finances, whatever, protection. One of the great verses we should all be doing now, one of the great affirmation is, in the name of Jesus, every COVID-19 virus dies in contact with our clothes and with our body. You can extend it to your pets and to your animals and to your family. Now, why is that scriptural? Because Luke 10:19 says, nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Let me tell you, COVID-19 is not coming to you because of God. So in the name of Jesus, every COVID-19 virus dies in contact with your body and your clothes. You should also be affirming. These two affirmations are affirmations you should start using and expect to keep saying them for the next year or two. Second one is, I have been immunized. In the name of Jesus, I have been immunized by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I've been immunized by the blood of Jesus. These are the two that we continue to say even after this pandemic has quieted down over the next few months. Well, we continue to say them for at least a couple of years. So that's semester one. Semester one puts some foundation into place to get us ready for semester two. Semester one is very active in terms of things you have to do. Semester two has things you have to do, but much more things you have to learn. Probably from semester two forward, there's probably almost nothing, very little, taught by any other church of which I'm aware. They teach cleansing, but remember, we started cleansing in semester one. And some churches do teach three witness, but their approach is quite different from ours. So semester two highlights. Here is where your knowledge starts taking off. Here's where you start getting prepared to be part of that glorious church. First of all, the structure of man. There is no other church in the world that teaches the structure of man the way we do. We teach a Pentecostal, the five parts of man, and you saw abundant scriptures to prove that. The Pentecostal is the foundation of everything we do in semester two and semester three and thereafter. You must understand we are a five-part being. You're a spirit, you have a heart, a soul, a mind, and a body. Because when you understand that, you understand what true alignment is. Watchman Nee talked about alignment. Watchman Nee is credited with the teaching on the trichotomy. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and your body. And he understood that they had to walk in alignment. But you see, that was a step in a direction that allowed people to stand on the shoulder of a giant like Watchman Nee. Because you really can't align spirit and body. The spirit is perfect. God lives in your spirit. It's perfect. Your body is carnal. You can't align flesh with spirit. The alignment is not spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is perfect. It doesn't need alignment. The soul should be aligned with the word of God coming out of your spirit. That is true. But your body only does what it's told. But when you look at the five parts, spirit, heart, soul, mind, and body, you see that alignment is determined by the heart, the mind, and your tongue. So an aligned person is a person whose spirit, heart, soul, mind, body, and tongue are aligned with the Word of God. The body becomes aligned only because the mind tells it to align. You can't understand alignment. You can't understand the power of the prayers of living water coming out of us without understanding the Pentecostal. And once you understand the Pentecostal, we then move you into the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is a place where God lives. It is limited in that it's a place. But the kingdom of God is unlimited. The kingdom of God is any place where God has authority. So the kingdom of God includes the kingdom of heaven. It includes you when you're in alignment. It includes your spirit, because God lives in your spirit. And when you are inside the kingdom of God, when you establish and you're inside there, it includes everything around which you've established the kingdom of God. And when you're in the kingdom of God, God's blessings can flood you and you have total protection. That is so profound. If you live in the kingdom of God, if you do not leave the kingdom of God, no harm can befall you. Luke 10:19, nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Psalm 91, no evil shall befall you, no plague come near your dwelling place. How can these things be true? Not in the natural. Only when the spirit is superseding the natural. That you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. Where is that? Living in God's kingdom, in the kingdom of God. And when you do that, none of these things can harm you. And once we understand that, we understand the need to live by the fruit of the Spirit. It's living by the fruit of the Spirit whereby we are aligned and the glory in us flows out. It's living by the fruit of the Spirit how you can remain in the kingdom of God. You've learned the three thermostats: joy, peace, and patience. When you're losing your joy, your peace, or your patience, you are leaving the kingdom of God. You're sinning. You may not know what the sin is, but you're sinning. In His presence is fullness of joy. If your joy is diminishing, you are departing from His presence. If you're losing your joy, peace, and patience, you're coming out of the kingdom of God. You're coming out to the place where attacks can come upon you. So we live by the fruit of the Spirit. And we've learned about the escalator. That if you act in love and exercise your self-control to do something in love because you love God, it puts you on the escalator of the fruit and you go upwards getting better and better and better in love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, self-control. It will take you up automatically. But if you abide in strife, you know, it takes one person to give love. Agape love is unconditional. One believer can give agape love. But it takes two for an argument. It takes two for strife. And when there is confusion and strife, when there's envying and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. When there's envying and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. What do you want? You want to live in God's kingdom, enjoy peace and patience, where nothing can harm you? Or you want to come out of it and live in strife where the devil has permission to attack you with every evil work? It's your choice. I've done the teaching. ABC has done the teaching. We can't do it for you. You have to make that choice. And when we make mistakes, God leads us not into temptation, but delivers us from evil. So He's shown us how to avoid temptation. Stay in the kingdom of God. Live by the fruit of the Spirit. But when you make a mistake and you need to be delivered from evil, we have the daily scenarios, which have healed so many people. Concentrated power of the Word of God in the daily scenarios. to bring health and healing into your body in a rapid manner. And as we've learned this, we need to continue to change. We learned all these things, but how do we change our lifestyle to adapt to it? How do we integrate all these things into our life? Through the cycle of change. All of you should know the cycle of change, as well as you know Mark 11:24, as well as you know your first name, your middle name, and your last name. The cycle of change. Renew your mind by studying the Word. Putting the Word in your heart by doing it, acting on it, speaking it. And then speak it out of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. To change your soul. Renew your mind, put it in your heart, and change your soul by speaking it. And as your soul prospers, so does your health and your finances. Renew your mind. Act on it. Speak it to change your soul. It's the cycle of change. And once you've learned all of that, we move you up to the prayer of authority. Mark 11:24 is basically asking God for something. Well, the prayer of authority is you understand God has given you authority and dominion over everything on the earth. You don't need to ask Him for it. You need to command it. Demons go. Money comes. Car work properly. Washing machine work properly. You have the prayer of authority to change your world and create your world by your words. And because that's a lot, at the end is a checklist for manifesting your healing, for manifesting your victory. You go over the list and say, what have I missed? What am I doing incorrectly, or what am I not doing? A checklist for healing. You should have that nailed to a wall someplace to say, go back and check and review what you've done. Semester 3 highlights. Spiritual warfare and divine healing. We teach about the kingdom of darkness, how they work, and how to wage war against it. Identifying sins. You can't confess a sin, you can't break a sin, you can't get sins out of your life if you don't know what they are. In a really realistic way, we can say that everything in ABC from the first 1 year of Bible college through the 1.5 years of healing school, the 1.5 years of School of Dominion, 1.5 year of graduate school, semesters 1, 2, and 3, 1.5 years. And then the Book of Revelation school, and the Living and Not Dying school. All of that really comes down to identifying sins. The more you learn about the Word of God, is the more you learn what sins you've been committing and didn't know. We need to identify sins. And a wonderful prayer that I say every day is, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're continuing to show me my hidden sins, my secret faults, and helping me not to do them again. A big part of identifying sins are the sins of our youth. We learn to identify them, break their curses, and get them out of our lives. When you can recognize your first sin in any given area, you can take apart that whole stronghold. And when you realize your very first sin, when the Holy Spirit shows you the very first sin you committed, the very first sin where your spirit man died and you needed to be reborn, when you can see that sin and break it and get the associated sins out of your life, you will hit the afterburners and you'll soar, as many of you have. As many of you have. We want all of you to be soaring with your afterburners going full blast. So dig in there and find out the very first sin you committed. I'd love to be able to point around the church and say, do you know your first sin? Do you know your first sin? And have everybody say yes. So we know the sins of our youth, and we have a prayer for personal cleansing, that we should personally cleanse frequently. Let me tell you a major difference between every cleansing ministry I know and ABC. First of all, we see cleansing not as and end all, not as a goal. We see cleansing, deliverance, as a stepping stone. Our goal is not simply to be cleansed. Our goal is to be part of the church with a spot or wrinkle. Our goal is to be here when Jesus returns. To do that, we need certain tools, and one of the tools is cleansing. So we're different from cleansing ministries and deliverance ministries in that respect. But here's a second way, second reason. The second reason is all cleansing ministries that I know, they take you through a process. The good one takes you through a process, and then there's a cleansing and you get delivered. They take you through a process so you know how the demons got in and how to keep them out and how to change your lifestyle. But if another demon shows up or you find another one, you go back to them and they cleanse you again. We want to train you how to cleanse yourself. We don't want you coming back to us. We don't want to get between you and God. Jesus Christ died, so you don't need a mediator between you and God. You can go boldly onto the throne of grace. You can get everything you need from God. We're just here to help you along the way. And so we teach you tools of cleansing. But it's your job to do it. And so we tell you about the prayer for personal cleansing, that you should cleanse yourself and get rid of these demons on your own. We're here to provide support when you need it, but we're not here to do it for you. In the beginning, when you're learning, we do some here, but that's just so you can learn how to do it. Do not sit around waiting for us to have a cleansing retreat. That's totally wrong. Cleansing retreat is not so much for the ongoing ABCers, it's for the new ones. And of course, sometimes you hit a really big demon, high level, and you need some help. It's also for that. But for general cleansing, you should be doing that all the time. We teach you what demonic strongholds are, how they are linked together, so you can tear them down and get them out of your life. Then there's daily cleansing for personal deliverance, which is the third sheet in today's outline. And then we teach words of dominion. Our goal as a church, our goal as defined by God, is to become an overcomer, to have dominion over the challenges of life and over the evils of life, to have dominion. The first step in having dominion is having dominion over your tongue. And we teach you the power of the words and the words of dominion. But you need power over your tongue. Control over your tongue. If you have no control over your tongue through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to walk in dominion. Let me say it again. Your tongue guides your life the way a rudder guides a ship, the way the bit guides a horse. Your tongue is guiding your life. If your tongue is out of control, your life is out of control. If you're having challenges in your life, it's your tongue. We need to get our tongue in control. No man can control the tongue. Book of James says, no man can control the tongue. James 3:8, I believe. No man can control the tongue. Wow, no man can control the tongue. It's like saying, how hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom of God? But with God, all things are possible. But you have to bring God into the loop. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to control your tongue. And you do that by praying in tongues and by doing affirmations, which we'll look at a bit later. And the idea of all this, leading up to dominion, is to be part of the glorious church. That's our goal. To be part of the glorious church and to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Page number 2. Pathways for cleansing. So there's a response to sin and there is a lifestyle that you have embarked upon. So there's a sin response action and there's a lifestyle dynamic. So let's do the sin response. Semester 1 teaches you, if you sin, confess it. And then RRB. Semester 2, establish the kingdom of God and stand there. If you lose your joy, peace, and patience, confess your sins and reestablish the kingdom of God. Semester 3, the prayer for personal cleansing, which is breaking curses and then doing a three witness on yourself, on every single part. Now, the lifestyle dynamics. Semester 1, we have the daily steps for walking in divine health, which we covered earlier. We looked at some of them. So you want to live these daily steps. Semester 2, daily scenarios for spiritual warfare. Semester 3, daily cleansing for personal deliverance, which is page 3. We'll look at that in a minute. Both of these now funnel into a summary of your lifestyle. Looking at the summary. We need to recognize sins, understand our habits, break the bad ones, create godly habits. It's not enough for you and me to do good things. It's not enough for you and me to do good things. We need to do God things. God things are good things when God wants you to do them. God wants you to do good things, but only when He's telling you to do it. We should live doing God things. Identifying hindrances in our lives and getting rid of them. Tearing down strongholds and casting out demons, evil spirits, and devils. That's the foundation. We teach you how to cast them out. How to identify them and how to cast them out. And how to overcome because you're getting rid of the strongholds in your life. We stress again the power of the tongue. Speaking God's word. It is the sword of the Spirit. No swordman in a fight has ever whipped out his sword, taken one sticking, one swipe or one jab at an enemy and put it back in his sheath. I guarantee you, no swordsman has ever done that. So why would we take out the sword of the Spirit and say it one time and stop? I grant you that for young believers or people new to this, they've gotten miraculous manifestation here at ABC, and I'm sure elsewhere, by saying it one time. But that's not the general lifestyle. That is almost a miraculous manifestation. Maybe it is a miraculous manifestation. No, the cleansing, the becoming an overcomer, the power of the tongue is all to allow the Holy Spirit to wash us by the water of the Word. We are washed by the Word of God when we accept Jesus as Lord. If the Word says do it, you do it. And what's washed away is all the knowledge that used to say don't do it. If the Word says don't do it, you don't do it. And what's washed away is all the religious and philosophical and natural things that used to say don't do that or it's impossible. You got to wash them all away. And they can only be washed away by living with Jesus as your Lord. Which means He's the Master. If He says do it, you do it. If He says don't do it, don't do it. And that washing of the water of the world will eventually produce a glorious church. A church without spot or wrinkle. A holy church in which a holy God lives without blemish, without any demons. I mean, you don't think God wants a temple that's full of demons or being attacked by demons all the time. And when we start to do that, we're becoming manifested sons of God for which creation has been waiting since man first sinned, or maybe since the earth was created. I don't know. It's been a long time. Page 3. Daily cleansing for personal deliverance. Daily means this is something you should be doing every day. It's part of your lifestyle that you're watching for these things and doing them. And it's for you, delivering yourself, to make you more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to make you more and more a candidate to be part of the church without spot or wrinkle. We do our best to be a part of the church without spot or wrinkle, and we want it. And when Jesus returns, He finishes the job. Foundational affirmations. Number one and number three are the foundational affirmations for the cycle of change. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. It renews your mind. Allows your mind to be renewed by the word of God. In the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart acceptable to him. Psalm 19:14. It's turning your tongue over to the Holy Spirit. Saying that a lot plus tongues will allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your tongue. If you're having challenges with your tongue, if you're having challenges with your life, you're having challenges with your tongue. The most common challenge is talking too much. Second most common one is creating strife by arguing, by backbiting, by using ungodly words. Don't create strife and don't talk too much. Number two, in the name of Jesus, I reckon myself dead to sin and alive to God. What a wonderful scripture. Don't you want to be alive to God? The only way you can be alive to God is to be dead to sin. It's a continuous action. Dead to sin brings you more alive to God. Being more alive to God is a result of being dead to sin. They're hooked together. Utilize a prayer for personal cleansing found in Semester 3, Module 10, on a regular basis. So it shows you some foundational things you should do for yourself on a regular basis, plus doing a three witness on all your parts. The summary prayer should be used whenever you confess known sins. So there's a summary and there's all the steps. On an ongoing basis, every time you confess a sin, you want to break the curses and you want to cast the demons out, the ones behind the curses. So it's, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm sorry I did that. It contradicts your word. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, I bind up the demons, devils, and evil spirit behind that sin, and I cast them out of my life, out of my home. That's a summary prayer. It's a little bit longer than that, but this is a summary of the summary. When you're being challenged with a specific, ongoing, relentless attack of the enemy, notice the word, specific, ongoing, relentless. Regarding a particular sin, you have done the summary prayer and it keeps coming back. You've done the summary prayer, it keeps coming back. So what you do is you take the full prayer, which takes some time, go through it and stop the attack and bind up the demons and get rid of them. So the full prayer is not for every time you confess your sins. It would take too long. It's for when you have a relentless, ongoing attack. And the summer prayers hasn't stopped it for long. It would stop it for a few minutes, for a few hours, for a few days, but it might come back. Then you do the full prayer. Use 2 Corinthians 10:5 in a case like this to affirm you're casting down every high thing and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Part C, focus on casting demons out. Your desire should be, I don't want to sin. If I sin, I want to confess it, break all the connections, and cast the demons out. That should be it. And that's what you should do. That should be your goal every time you sin. But to do that, you need to have the Holy Spirit show you what sins are. Because most of us, don't know most of our sins. Maybe all of us. During times of those specific, ongoing, relentless attacks of temptation, it is a good option not only to stop the attack using the full length prayer for personal cleansing, but also to proceed from there and take the time to cast the demons behind these attacks out of your body. So take time to get rid of them. If you're unable to take the time to cast the demons out at that moment, then tell the demons to go down and be silent. shut them up and put them down, wash them down with rivers of living water, and tell them they're cocooned. What does cocoon mean? To me, it means I put out your eyes for a season, I put out your ears for a season, I paralyze your upper and lower limbs, and your tongue are paralyzed for a season. You can't do anything for a season. Until a later time when you can cast out, when you have time. One of the key items to remember is that you must be ready to stop the sinning in that area. If you're going to cast out demons, you must have already decided in your heart, I do not want to commit that sin ever again. In your heart, you must want to never commit that sin again. And if you do, you confess it. But the desire is never to do it again. The goal must not be, well, I'm going to continue confessing it, but I'll keep confessing it. I'll keep doing it, but I'll keep confessing it. No. Confessing is not there to allow you to continue sinning. Confessing is part of the grace safety net. The goal is you must be convinced, I don't want to do it again. Sometimes it's not easy to recognize the subtle deceptions of the enemy, and we fall back in the same traps. We all know that. Review the notes from the first step from Semester 3, Module 6. Semester 3, Module 6. The first step to learn to recognize his tricks. Schedule regular personal counseling session. It is recommended that you schedule regular, weekly, or monthly personal self-cleaning sessions by using the prayer for personal cleansing. Amen. That's it. In Jesus' name. Thank you for participating.